While they're taking the offering tonight, Mrs. Board is going to pray our prayer. Come on up and sit right up here. And I'm really, really thankful. This just worked out. He sent an email to the church earlier and said, I'm in country. I'll be coming through your area on Tuesday, September 14th. Can we get together for lunch? Absolutely. We can do more than lunch. We can do mission conference for a day. And so they stayed. And I'm so glad they did. You'll be blessed tonight to hear what the Lord is doing in the field of service where they are. Katie Smith is going to sing for us, and we'll enjoy her music. And then after that, give your undivided attention tonight to Brother Board. And he'll introduce the video. We can watch that. Then he'll bring the message. God bless you, brother. Thank you, Katie.
Salvation to a lost and dying world. Amen. Thank you, ma'am. Would you dare to care? What a great message of song to kick off this evening's service. And I'm thankful that at a time when I was not pursuing God, God was pursuing me. And God cared enough. So thank the Lord for that. Would like to invite you to watch our video here. And I want to thank you, church. Last time we were here, I believe it was 2003, so 18 years ago. And when we stood before you, I think you had just gotten into this auditorium, if I'm not mistaken. It's the best of my recollection. And everything that we stood up in front of you and talked about was in regard to what God was going to do in Cambodia was just theory. Okay. It was hopeful plans. It was dreaming. It was just hoping that God would do something. So I want to say tonight that God is faithful. And God is faithful far beyond anything that we could imagine, that we could dream. And by the way, He's faithful in your life also. And thank God that He's the one that's faithful, even when we are not always as faithful as we ought to be. Amen? And so the theme of this video really is just to draw your heart and your mind to the faithfulness of God. And I want you to know that every face that you see on the video, with the exception of one, and the one individual that you'll see that was not saved because of our ministry there in Cambodia, was saved because of Brother Esposito's ministry in Long Beach. And we were allowed to reach that young man with the gospel. And he is now serving on our missions team there in Cambodia. And I believe your church partners with him, the Vong family. And so you'll see Brother Vong up there. But other than him, every other individual was saved since the last time we stood before you. And there's a very, very likely chance that had you all and other churches not partnered with us to enable us to physically go to Cambodia and take the gospel, there's a very good chance many of these people would have not only died and gone to hell, but have died one day and gone to hell without ever having the opportunity to actually reject the gospel. And that's going to be, Lord willing, the theme of our challenge this evening. I want to challenge you with the fact that there's many places in this world where people will die and go to hell. Unfortunately, it's very, very sad. But there are some places where they will die and go to hell, having never heard the gospel even one time. So that ought to break our hearts. The song was, Do You Care Enough? This evening, it's my prayer that through this missions conference, there'll be some young people. Maybe you go to the Christian school here. Maybe you don't go to the Christian school. Maybe you're visiting from another church. Maybe you're a young married couple. Maybe you're an older retired couple. You know, it's amazing how many retired Mormon couples are serving the Mormon church's agenda in Cambodia. I never knew it existed until we lived in Cambodia. This is a new trend. Prior to COVID, it was a regular thing for us to see older American couples in their 60s and 70s with the little badge, Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints. And they're there because they care about their agenda. So it's my prayer this evening that through this conference, the preaching and the testimonies and the presentations and the challenges and all the expense of this conference would result in young people being willing to surrender, to leave a place like this. Because God's called you to take the gospel someplace where unless we are burdened enough to care, they will likely never hear the gospel. So that'll be what Lord willing will challenge you with in a few moments. Okay? And gentlemen, if we could start the video, and then I'll turn this mic on when I come back up.
It's difficult to describe to you what it's like as Americans to move to a foreign country, to move to a foreign city, to rent a building, and to announce a starting date for a brand new church, to show up to church that Sunday morning, and to wonder if anybody else will be there other than your own family. It was here in this crowded neighborhood, in the middle of Phnom Penh, that the Lord led us to begin the church. We were surrounded by tens of thousands of people who were living hectic lives, just simply trying to survive another day.
We quickly discovered that they had little interest in listening to the gospel, and even less interest in being part of a church like ours.
Until this point, the model that we had seen of gospel-preaching churches that are faithful to the Word of God here in Cambodia was typically one of a very small congregation, with the average church size being about 18 members. In fact, we told our landlord that we could not even imagine the church ever getting over 30 people.
It was on that basis that he agreed to rent us his building.
Although the gospel first came to Cambodia by missionaries nearly 100 years ago, and many missionaries have come and gone and have desired to see God move in a mighty way, we have yet to see a true work of God in this country, as many still hold on to their ancestral teaching of merit and karma. Here in Cambodia, it is said, Torbun ban bun, torba ban bab, kluen ti ban kluen. If you do good, you'll receive good. If you do bad, you'll receive bad. You've got to depend upon your own merit.
Confusion brought about by the cults and the false teachings of the prosperity gospel from America as well as other countries has greatly contributed to the rejection of the true gospel here in Cambodia.
We thank God for His faithfulness in allowing our team and our family to not only see a great harvest in this crowded location, but at the same time to see satellite ministries started in multiple villages that are reaching not just the Cambodian people, but also two other people groups that are considered unreached with the gospel: the Goy people group, who are predominantly animist, and the Jom people group, who are predominantly Muslim.
Here we see some of the Jom believers singing praises to God in their own heart language.
After years of renting, and when it came close to renew the lease on our building, it became evident that very soon we were going to be priced out of the rental market here in Phnom Penh.
As a church, we began looking for a plot of land that we could afford to purchase, and the Lord led us to place a down payment of $10,000 on a rice field just at the edge of town, located about an hour from where we had been renting.
The owner gave us 60 days to come up with the remaining $75,000. Once again, God proved His faithfulness as He worked in the hearts of the members to sacrificially give in our special offering to purchase the land. Through their sacrifice, as well as through the generous gifts that were given by God's people in other places, we were able to pay the balance by the due date.
Time doesn't permit us to detail God's goodness in providing all that we needed in order to see the new church building constructed.
So many of our national families sacrificially gave and spent months volunteering their time to help pour concrete and build the walls. God's faithfulness was evident every step of the way, as in just 14 months, we were able to complete this beautiful building that will accommodate our church family, as well as allow us to grow in the future.
Just 1 week prior to having the new building totally completed, our village was hit by the worst windstorm in its recorded history.
During the storm, we lost the roof on our own home, as well as the roof on the new church building. While we were definitely tempted to become discouraged, we were able to once again see God's faithful hand each step of the way. The morning after the storm, some of our church family came and began the cleanup process. We also met together for a time of encouragement and prayer and singing praises to the Lord. Here you can hear some of the church singing the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Once again, God was faithful to provide everything that we needed to completely replace the church roof as well as the roof on our own home.
One of the blessings God has allowed us to enjoy is that of seeing so many of our national families who have been reached through the ministry express their desire to make the local church a central part of their lives by purchasing land near our new church property.
To date, there are more than 80 of our members living within a stone's throw of our new building.
Once our new church building was completed, we were only allowed to meet in it for a few short weeks before restrictions related to COVID were tightened to the extent that we were forbidden to meet in groups larger than 10 individuals. For the past several months, we've been limited to holding online services only under the threat that our property would be confiscated if we tried to use it for church services. Our new online presence has given several of our national men who we've led to the Lord and trained for the ministry, the opportunity to preach. It's been a great blessing for us to witness the Lord use them mightily as they passionately preach the Word of God to their own people online.
អង្គមកដើម្បីឲ្យគ្រួសាររបស់យើងជាគ្រួសារមួយដែលខុសពីគ្រួសាររបស់លោកីដែលមើលតែសុបាយតែមើលតែគេចំណាយចង់បានមិនមែនគ្រួសារមួយដែលដាច់បាក់គ្រួសារមួយឈ្លោះគ្នារាល់ថ្ងៃគ្រួសារមួយដែលអត់សូវត្រូវគ្នាតែប្រពន្ធចេះឈ្លោះគ្នាអត់មិនមែនទេបងចង់ឲ្យយើងមានគ្រួសារមួយដែលសុបាយសុបាយគ្រួសារមួយដែលត្រង់បានទទួលស្រីល្អពីយើងរាល់គ្នាតើបងប្អូនមានជីវិតពេញបរិបូរណ៍មានសង្ឃឹមដែរយើងថាយើងជឿព្រះពិតហើយយើងមានសង្ឃឹមបងប្អូនមានសង្ឃឹមហើយឬនៅ
Thank you, friends, for standing with our family and ministry over these past many years. It's been God's faithfulness and His goodness that has sustained us and has enabled you to give your prayers, to give your finances. And we thank you from the bottom of our heart and to our many, many Cambodian, John, and Goy people right here in this part of the world who thank you also.Please join with us in praying that God would do a great and a mighty work in the future. Here are just a few of the goals that we would like to see accomplished over the next 2 years. Thank you, church, for helping to send a special offering about a year and a half ago to help us to complete that building. That was a blessing. Our people sacrificed greatly. I was telling Pastor earlier and some of the men that we believe the Nationals need to have skin in the game. And it would be a very dangerous thing and not productive in the long term for us to finance the entire building project.That being said, that was far beyond their physical capacity to be able to raise that type of money. Just the land alone at $85,000, and then I won't even scare you with how much it costs to build the building.
But for the second story, we knew exactly how many bricks we needed to buy, and it was going to be about $5,000 worth of bricks. And we cast a vision to the church family, and many of our people are young people. And there's one thing I know about young people that's good, and one thing that's not as good. One thing I know about young people, Pastor, they have a lot of energy, and they take direction, and they're able to go into villages and help take the gospel, and that's exciting. Now, here's the other side of that. Young people don't have a lot of money. Okay? And so you have to have a long-term strategy when you're going to a country like Cambodia, because the vision is to train nationals to reach their own people and to equip men and women to get married together like two of our college students did this last week. And we missed the wedding, and I hated that. But young people who are reached as little 13-year-olds, 12-year-olds, through our children's ministry, they're in our Bible college now. They couldn't wait for COVID to get over so they could have a public wedding and graduate from Bible college. And they got married, and one of our folks married them there, and they're training to serve God, but they don't have money. But thank God for folks who are willing to sacrifice what they do have. And we cast that vision for our young people and for the older folks who have been saved, who many of them have an income of $150 to $300 a month. So how many of you know if they're faithfully tithing on $300, $30 doesn't only leave just a little bit of money to live on, but it doesn't leave a lot of discretionary income when we're already asking them to give to missions, give to help for special projects. And then we say we're going to build a building, but they sacrificed. We cast the vision. We took up a one-time offering, and then we took six-month commitments where they would give for 6 months whatever God laid on their hearts. We didn't give them a numerical number. I didn't want them to have the feeling that they had failed. But I wanted them to do whatever God wanted them to do. I'm going to tell you what, one of the most blessed parts about this building program was seeing our people, our young people from little street children this old to an old grandpa who heard the gospel at 70 years old for the first time, coming and putting their offerings in the box. And that day, between the commitments and the offering, we raised over $9,000. And so we thank God for that. But that building could not have gone up had it not been for churches like yours. I don't remember how much you all sent, but thank you for sending it. Okay, everything that's going on there in Cambodia is to God's glory and by His faithfulness, because of His grace, not because of our team, not because of us, not because of strategy, not because we know what we're doing. God's way ahead of us, but it takes partners here in America who will give financially and pray. You know, you saw in the video there where 1 week before we dedicated the building, a huge storm came through. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about this, but I want you to understand a little bit because it ties in with the theme of our message this evening, talking about dark places in this world who do not have access to the gospel unless we, you and I, physically take it to them. And for centuries, they've lived under the control of evil. And the Bible says the God of this world has blinded their minds so they don't see the glorious light of the gospel. There in Cambodia, when you build a house or you build a school, any type of building, government or private, you always bring the witch doctors in and you bring the local monks in and you pay them a bunch of money and they take their little voodoo water and they bless the land and they say a bunch of little charms and everything. And they believe that will protect the property. Well, obviously, we didn't do that. And a whole village was like, you know, when we moved from an hour downtown to the edge of town, we moved to a village that for thousands of years has been under the control of Satan. In fact, it is a stronghold where people will go to have curses placed on other people, to have curses lifted from themselves. It's right there in our own backyard. When we began developing that land, of course, we didn't call the monks, we didn't call the witch doctors, and the village began gossiping about us and saying, well, something terrible is going to happen. And wouldn't you know it? Oh, man. A week before we dedicated the building, a big, huge windstorm came through. That according to the people that have lived there for many years, they said it's never happened before. And it blew our church roof right off. And it blew my roof right off. And a few other families in the village, their roof was totally gone. So, as you can imagine, kind of a discouraging time, right? So when the sun began coming up and we could see where the portions of the roof were, our church roof, which is a roof probably close to the size of this room, was torn into about three or four pieces and had flown about a block and a half and landed in the neighbor's pond. Didn't kill anybody. Didn't destroy anyone else's property. Didn't even knock down a palm tree or a banana tree. Our roof on our home, which our house is 90 square meters. I don't know what that is in English, but it's just a normal sized little house. Our entire roof, steel structure and aluminum that was welded onto the steel structure, it successfully flew like a frisbee in one piece, about a block and a half the other direction, and landed literally about this far from the witch doctor's front door. Literally. You know, it was a discouraging time, honestly. And as we sing, It Is Well With My Soul, there was part of me that says, it is well with my soul, but I sure don't like it. People say, wow, it must have been really hot in here. You wiping the sweat off. That was not sweat. That was tears. It really was. But God reminded us of the truth of the book of Psalms that says a chariot is prepared for the day of battle. But safety is of the Lord. You see, that witch doctor, before we started building the church, that his area where he owned his land there was nothing but a rice field, just like our area is just a plain rice field. About the time we started building, he started building. Oh, we started getting walls up. He started getting walls up. I didn't know he was a witch doctor. So I decided, let me go over here and meet the neighbor. Looks like he's building something that's a big deal. Let me find out what's going on. Surely it's not going to be the Koreans bringing the charismatic movement right to our backyard. That's what I thought it was. Went over there, met the folks. Oh, he's so-and-so. I said, oh, great. What does he do? Well, they didn't use the word witch doctor. That's my word. They used the local term. He's a teacher. Oh, okay. What does he teach? And I already knew, but I wanted to hear him say it just in case I had misread it, you know. So he's basically a man who, when someone wants something bad to happen to someone else, you can hire him. And I don't tell a lot of these stories in America because, frankly, folks don't believe it here. But I'm telling you, it takes place. He can put a spell on people who believe the same type of religion from the devil that he believes. He can't put a spell on us, thank God, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But he can cast spells to the point where people will go insane. All kinds of things will happen. He won't chase that rabbit. Or if you have had a spell placed on you, you can go and pay some money and the spell will be released. And I said, well, why is he developing this place right here? He said that he heard that I was building a school. Now, I never told him I'm building a school. Probably Brother Vong lied to the community and said, we're building a school, you know. That's just the way he is, you know. He's just always stretching the truth. No, we try to be wise and we don't talk a lot about, especially as we're building. We may have used the word school. He heard you're building a school and it's his goal for his client's children to attend your school. I said, wow, he doesn't know what kind of school we're building. Amen. So and then the whole COVID thing hit. And unfortunately, at least by our estimation, God knows and he's in control. But we've not been able to use that building except for about 2 months. The picture that you saw was the last time we were able to use it. We used it for probably, 6-8 weeks or so. For the last going on 7 months or maybe a little over 7 months, we've been restricted to online only. Under threat that any foreigners in our ministry would be deported, and then under threat that the government would confiscate the land. How pray that Cambodia would open up. We feel like over the last year and a half or so, we have lost an entire generation of young people who would have come to Christ in our new village and who 10 years from now would have been training in Bible college and being equipped to go into Vietnam, Laos, Thailand, and Cambodia with the gospel. And the longer we're delayed from getting into their villages and reaching those young people, the harder it's going to be to reach them. Because the world, the flesh, and the devil is really after them. And technology and Facebook and TikTok and prosperity and all different types of things and drugs are destroying their lives. And we want to catch them at a young age. Help us to pray about that. It was a blessing this evening and this morning to have different individuals from the church come up to it. Brother Board, nice to meet you. We pray for you every day. Wow. Thank you. had one lady say, sometimes my husband and I pray two and three times for all of our missionaries every day. Thank you. Money is one thing. And you need to understand this. Thank you for being faithful and sending your support. But finances alone will have no effect on the powers of darkness that we face in Cambodia, that your missionaries in Ecuador will face. And there's powers of darkness in New Zealand and in Uganda and Croatia and Kenya and Belarus. So you must bathe your missionaries in prayer. I firmly believe many of those folks there on the screen that you saw were saved, not just because our team brought the gospel to them and our nationals brought the gospel to them, but because men and women and boys and girls were fasting and praying for the salvation of those people there. You see, nearly every time, unless it's a young child, nearly every time someone comes to Christ in a place like Cambodia, it's a strong spiritual battle that takes place. And we'll talk about that a little bit this evening, Lord willing. I invite you to open your Bibles. Time is fleeting. To Psalm chapter 97. Psalm chapter 96. By the way, thank you for being an easy congregation to preach to and talk to. You're very receptive. That's a blessing. It's not that way everywhere. I was telling my wife several churches ago that I preached in, the whole back of the auditorium was lined with people that had just like this, and they glared at me and they dared me. And I was really tempted just to, because I had a wireless mic, to go right down there in the middle and just preach right to them. But I didn't think it'd be a good way to represent our family and the Lord. So thank you for being receptive. It's a blessing. In the time we have here, I'd like to challenge you just with a couple things that God's placed in my heart. Psalm chapter 76, verse number 1. I'm going to read verse number 1. Psalm 76, verse number 1. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. Again, in Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. I thank the Lord that we know a God and we serve a God who not only created us and then just threw us out to kind of make it through life on our own, but He created us and He desires to be known. He has made Himself known. He delights in the people that He's created knowing Him. Now, do you know Him? That's a quick question. Has there been a time when you have moved from darkness to light, from eternal death to eternal life? Are there changes that have taken place in your life that would demonstrate, that would give evidence to the fact that you know God? Those of us that know we're saved, the question would be this: do we know God? You know, the Apostle Paul said it was his desire to know Christ. And that is a great, great need in our churches today and in our families. We know a whole lot of things about God, but can we dare to say that we know God? I believe that as we know God, and the more better that we know God, the more we will develop a heart like God, character like God. Families, as a young man preached, that represent and give glory to God. And so there was a place called Judah where God's name was known and His name was great in Israel. And let me remind you and just thank God that God's name is great and it's known right here in Bourbonnais. How do I know that? Because we're here tonight and God's great name is great to us. Amen? No doubt, within a driving distance, there are other gospel preaching churches and light right here in our own city. And God's name is known here. And it's great. And that's a blessing. But this evening, briefly, I want to speak on behalf of the billions of people in the world and the places where our family serves, where God's name is great, but they don't know His name. Where He created them and He loves them and He desires for them to know Him, but where they do not know Him. You see, the psalmist says in Judah, God's name was known and it was great in Israel. But he goes on in Psalm chapter 74. We're going to read two more verses. In Psalm chapter 74, for sake of time, let me summarize. I believe the psalmist there was lamenting the fact that God's people were under Babylonian captivity. And how many of you know that when you were a prisoner of war, your country was taken over and you served underneath that oppressive regime? It was not a good time. And this psalmist was lamenting and begging God and pleading for God to do something about the situation. In verse number 19, he says, "Oh, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove," meaning Israel, "unto the multitude of the wicked." Multitude of the wicked, they're referring to the Babylonian captors who were wicked. "Unto the multitude of the wicked, forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty." The last phrase again, the dark places. In my Bible, I have the word dark places circled. The dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. The Bible talks about our responsibility as His people and as His church to take the gospel simultaneously to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. We know this. Our Jerusalem is right here. I believe Samaria really refers to reaching out to people groups and economic groups that are different than us and many times are rejected by the society at large. And that would be the Samaritans in our midst. And God loves them like He loves us. He wants us to have a heart of compassion and care and take the gospel to them. By the way, that's why I'm standing before you tonight. My pastor, when I was about 16 years old, began really preaching about a vision to reach out to a part of town that was different than the part of town where our church was. And he said, "We're going to begin running buses to that part of town. And we need people to be in charge of taking neighborhoods and just giving their lives to this bus ministry." And I was 16 years old, going to Christian school, not really in direction in life, very, very, very timid, scared of my own shadow. It's difficult to grow up in the shadow of a pastor. Give grace to staff members' children. Your pastor's children are all grown, but it's a difficult thing sometimes to grow up in the shadow of a pastor. But my dad was one of the assistant pastors, and the senior pastor said, "Brother Board, you're going to be in charge of this whole bus ministry." And guess what Brother Board did? He went and tapped on David Jr.'s shoulder and said, "Guess what you're going to do with your life?" Okay. And thank God, the very first door that myself and my best friend knocked on was a Cambodian refugee family. Now, I didn't know Cambodia from China, from Korea, from the Philippines. All I knew is they were a lot different than me. Their house smelled strange. The food they ate still had eyeballs on it. It was weird. But you see, God used that to grab our hearts. Why? Because my pastor had a vision and was willing to do something about reaching out to the Samaritans in our midst. But you see, the uttermost parts of the earth, another way we could describe the uttermost parts of the earth are the dark places. The dark places that are full of the habitations of cruelty. You say, "Well, why are they full of darkness? Is it because of economic problems?" No. No, that's the way the world would look at it. That's the way the NGO groups that go to Cambodia and bring confusion about Christianity and mix it up with the social gospel. They'll say they're bringing light by bringing jobs, and that's just not true in a place like Cambodia. And those places are not dark because they don't have enough money. Majority of the people you saw in the video and the voices you heard singing are very poor people compared to the way we live here in America. But they are not living in darkness. So why is it that in a place where they are born and they live, it's been dark for centuries, and why is it that we can have members in our church, young people in our church, like Soka and Sokat, who we met at about 8 and 9 years old, maybe 9 and 10 years old, a little boy and a little girl. They came into church one day, and as we began to meet them and talk with them and talk with their aunt who brought them to our church, we came to find out that at the age of about 5 and 6 years old, or maybe 4 and 5 years old, these two young children were sold into slavery into a neighboring country to be slaves on a pig and a chicken farm. They were not only sold, they were sold by their mother. They weren't just sold by their mother, they were sold for $300. And those little children were beaten and starved if they didn't do enough work each day. When their aunt found out about it, Several months later, she went and borrowed $1,000 from a loan shark to redeem them back. Every Sunday, those little kids, every Wednesday, every Saturday when we had our organized soul winning time, they would show up at church. They couldn't read and write. They didn't understand the gospel. They had been severely abused, but they came to church for one reason, because they knew the Christians loved them. And they would come, and they would give us hugs. We have to be really careful about hugging children over there. And it's a very sad thing, because there's a lot of children that need hugs. They really do. And it's so sad. The devil's perverted affection. But you know what? Decide just bite the bullet. Give these little kids a hug anyway. Why is it that that could only take place under the permission, the acceptance of local authorities? How could that happen? How could it happen that in our new village, a little 9-year-old girl disappeared, a little family we're trying to reach out to. She disappeared for 10 days. Then she showed up and asked the mother, hey, where's your daughter been? And for those of you that maybe follow us on social media, probably 5 months ago or so, Debbie and I were taking a walk through the village one evening, and we had our video camera on. And because we heard noises behind us, come to find out it was 3 little kids that were trailing behind us, and they just wanted to be with us. That little girl was one of the little girls that disappeared for 10 days. And I won't go into detail, but some very bad things happened to her for 10 days by a man in the area who is today walking around with total freedom. The police could care less. The parents don't even have any heart or desire to pursue him in the criminal courts. Imagine the pain and suffering that little girl is going through. How could that happen? Because the Bible says the uttermost parts of the earth or the dark places are full of the habitations of cruelty. The dark places. Let me remind you, church, there's many, many people right here in Bourbonnais and across the board and just neighboring cities that are lost. And one day, if they don't accept Christ, one day they will die and they will spend eternity in hell. And that ought to really concern us. And as a church, we have to have a plan. And that's why we have tracts. That's why everywhere we go. I got Culver's gift certificates. Praise the Lord for whoever did that. Thank you. That was in our little bag, Culver's. How many of you like Culver's? Yeah, it's a blessing. That's the best part about visiting America. There are people right here at home. There are neighbors, there are people you work with every day who are lost and they're on their way to hell. And if they don't accept Christ, they will die and go to hell. And that ought to concern us, and we ought to have a plan, a strategy to reach them. We ought to do our very best. But let me say this. It's like this. There is a need for food, physical food, worldwide. And people in Cambodia don't need food more than we need food right here in Bourbonnais. If I don't eat, I'm going to be hungry. If I don't eat long enough and drink water for long enough, I will die, just like people in Cambodia. But here's the difference. Food is all around us here. We have access to food. I know where to buy food. If I'm hungry tonight, it's because I choose to be hungry. I've exercised my will to not go and buy food. It doesn't mean it wouldn't be a tragic thing if I would die of starvation. That could happen. But here's the difference. Spiritually speaking, there are many people here in America, here in our own city, knowing that there needs to be more churches, we need to have soul winning, we need to have more bus routes, we're 1,000% for that. What I'm trying to do is plead for the people in the dark places. There are many, many people who are standing in the middle of a storehouse full of food who are starving to death because they've refused to eat the food. While there are many people in other places of the world who are starving to death spiritually, but have no access to food whatsoever. There's a difference. There really is a difference. Sometimes people say, wow, you have a missionary serving with you on your team, and praise God for that. I've been a solo missionary, and I've been a missionary leading a team. I'm going to tell you what, God can do so much through us because of the accountability, the synergy, just the camaraderie and building upon each other's gifts, we're able to do multiple things because we have a team. Sometimes people will say, oh, you guys have too many missionaries over there in Asia. Really? Wow. It's just not true. And the truth of the matter is, there are some young people in here tonight who God probably is going to call to plant a church in Indiana, or in Illinois, or in Kentucky, or a pagan place like California where I come from. And there's a need. But another reality is to also remember there's dark places in this world where they don't have access to the gospel. I often try to take note, when I'm in other cities, try to take note of how many gospel preaching churches do I pass in order to get to the church where I'm preaching at. I haven't done that here because it's hard enough for me to just follow that GPS because of the cornfield, and I have to cut around and all that, and it's only 5 minutes away. But typically, I will pass several churches before I get to the church where I'm preaching. It may not be exactly like our church. They're probably not. But there's probably a good chance that you could hear the gospel and probably would hear the gospel. Probably a good chance if someone got saved in that church, you ought to leave and probably come to a place like this. I understand that. But you know, many of the people who are saved in our church there in Cambodia, there is not a gospel preaching church within 2 or 3 or 4 hours of their village. The gospel preaching churches that are there, by and large in Cambodia, are anemic. They're weak. They lack vision and direction. We need more laborers. God has commanded us. Jesus Christ commanded us to pray for laborers. And so young men, young ladies, couples, as you look at doing whatever God wants you to do for your life, remember, it may be that God calls you specifically to stay here at home, plant a church, support the ministry here, serve for the rest of your life as a faithful member of this church. And if that's God's will, you better do it. But I would have a hard time believing that if God cared enough to send Jesus Christ to seek and to save those who are lost, I have a hard time believing that He would want the majority of those who graduated from Bible college last year to remain in America. And that's a sad fact, that the majority of Bible college graduates in the United States of America who graduate year after year remain in America. I understand America needs churches. Can I speak on behalf of the many, many people who live where we live, who never one time heard the gospel until they were way into their adult years? We need to be concerned about them. For some of us, that will mean preparing ourselves mentally, emotionally, financially, educationally, through the guidance of our pastor, our parents, the Holy Spirit, a consistent walk with God, prepare ourselves to realize that within just a few years, we will not be serving here in the United States. We will be in some place that's dark. Some place that if they don't hear the gospel from you, they're not going to hear the gospel. Does that make sense? Thinking about the people that live in darkness. And let me kind of summarize my thoughts here. One thing about the people that live in darkness, the enemy of their soul, the enemy of our soul, is going to do everything he can to keep the light of the gospel from them. 2 Corinthians 4:4. If our gospel is hidden, it's hidden from those in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest they would see the glorious light of the gospel. Now, for many people around us right here, the gospel could be hidden, in a sense, because we've not opened our mouth and shared it. That would be our fault. But for many of the people where we serve, it's hidden. Even though we preach the gospel, it's still hidden from them. A lot of people think, wow, you're serving in an impoverished country like Cambodia, they're under the, you know, they worship, literally worship the devil. And when they hear the gospel, they're probably so hungry for the gospel, they just come to the church in groves and get saved. Absolutely not. It's not like that in Madagascar. And it's not like that in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. They hate the gospel, but God loves them. When they figure out what we're all about, that we're not out there to give them money and to buy them things and to bribe them to come to church like many, many missionaries do over there. They don't want to be around us. We still need grace from God to want to be with them. And so the God of this world is going to do all he can to keep them blind. But let me say this. 2 Peter tells us that God desires for none to perish, but for all to be saved. And we think about the long-suffering, the suffering long, the pursuing after the lost that God does. Aren't you thankful that God didn't give up on you the very first time you rejected the gospel? But he pursued you. And we need to pursue others, and we know it's God that saves, but we have to be that voice, and we need to be long-suffering also. But ultimately, it's God who will work in their heart and draw them to the Father. Here's the thing. He's long-suffering. I'm thinking about a family that's really on my heart tonight, Heem and Beth. Now, when I tell this story, I always get the age wrong. We get back to the hotel, my wife's going to say, honey, he's not however old you said he is. He's a different age. So I'm just going to make up an age. I think he's 33. Is that right, babe? No. How old is he? He's 40. Okay. I don't know. He's 40 years old. He seems like he's 33. He's really in shape. Let's just put it that way. And I'll have time to tell the whole story, but an amazing story of a man who, before he got saved, his job was to work for the local witch doctor, not the one behind our church, but a different one in the Muslim community. And this man's job was basically this. A team of individuals that worked under the control of this witch doctor would be hired for $3,000 to go to the home of a sick individual, a sick family member. And the children were concerned, or the parents were concerned about a sick child, and they would pay these witch doctors $3,000. The witch doctor would bring a buffalo, or a bull, or a large cow, and they would literally have a sword. They go through a special ceremony. They cut the head off of that buffalo. They set it on an altar. They take the blood, and they make a blood sacrifice, not to idols, but to Satan himself. And they know it's Satan. And as they do this, because they believe in him and they're under his control, demons will possess them. And men like this man I'm getting ready to tell you about will become demonically possessed, and they will begin dancing in circles while the drums are beating. This takes place in 2021. This takes place in a country where they have Facebook, they have iPhones, they have high-speed internet, we have Starbucks, we also have Satan worship. As they become demonically possessed, some different things take place. And the sick individual, I'm thinking in, for example, this one particular grandfather who had not been able to get out of his bed for months. He was bedridden. But during the ceremony, demons will possess him, and he will literally get up off the bed and begin dancing with the group. It's a very eerie thing to see. And by the way, as God's children, we ought to despise any media that has anything at all to do with darkness. We ought to steer totally clear of video games, internet sites, music that glorifies the dark side. That is fire you're playing with. And it's real. And grandpa or whoever is sick will get up and dance. And the family's so happy the devil has healed their loved one. Paid their $3,000. Everybody goes home. Tomorrow morning, grandpa can't get out of bed again. He's paralyzed again. Why? Because the devil's a liar. The dark places are full of the habitations of cruelty. You know how long it takes for a poor family to find $3,000? Many times they have to sell their land. They have to sell their home. They have to send their children to go work in Malaysia or Korea in order to raise that kind of money. But that's all they know. But God's long-suffering enough to pursue them through us to take the gospel with your partnership and your prayers. And so this man, Heem, who is now 40 years old, one day he heard the gospel because his 7-year-old daughter had accepted Christ in children's ministry out in the middle of a village where our workers went every week a couple times, preached the gospel. She got saved, and she got a burden for her mom and dad. And she would get up at night and weep at the side of her bed, begging God to save her parents. Her dad got saved. Her mom got saved. They've been growing. They came under a lot of persecution because of their faith. We invited them to come and live in the church. We just felt like there's some who can handle persecution. There's some that if we don't kind of step in and help be alongside of them for a little while, they may fall away. And that was one of these couples. They were getting a lot of persecution. How many of you know at one time they were playing for the wrong team and the devil was not happy? And he doesn't give up on them easily. Now today, they built a brand new house right directly across the street from our church. And before I left to come back to the States for these few months, I sat down and met with him. I said, Brother Heem, I said, I want to talk to you about your future. What are you doing? I cast the same vision I cast to you young people. What are you doing about the lost people around you? You know, he's a soul winner. He drives our tuk-tuks to take our soul winners to the villages. He helps us with maintenance issues. He's in ministry and he loves the Lord. And he began to almost weep. He said, you know, Pastor Dave, my wife and I have been talking about how we feel that God wants us to do more than we're doing. I said, you know what? I think so, too. And we talked through a few things. And I said, you know, when I get back in November, I want to get an answer from you. But I really believe the first of the year, God would lead us as church leadership to specifically target you and your wife for specific targeted discipleship and train you to become a local village pastor. And he said, I think so too. He said, my wife has been telling me, honey, how come we're not doing more? How come we don't step up what we're doing? I've been meeting with him on video calls while we've been here in the States, and just I'll be in a coffee shop and with my headphones on and all these people around us talking to this guy in the Khmer language. All these college students looking at me in Ankeny, Iowa. What's this guy talking in tongues? What's he all about? But excited to death because this man and his wife, she's in her late 30s. He's 40 years old, apparently, according to the boss. Okay, are preparing for full-time Christian service. Because their little daughter wept and begged God to save their soul. So God can use children. God pursues those who he wants saved. Who does he want saved? Everyone. He pursues them as we take the gospel. You've got to remember this. The folks who live in darkness, the book of Romans chapter 1 tells us, they are without excuse. Because of what? The things that are created, both seen and unseen, visible and invisible, give evidence to the fact that there's a creator God. See, many of our people, they'll confess after they're saved, they'll say, you know, when we bowed down to Satan, when we worshiped idols, when we did ancestral worship, in our heart, we knew that that was not right, but we didn't know where God was. That's all we've ever known. So you see, the book of Romans chapter 1 says they're going to die someday without an excuse. And when they stand before God and they try to give excuse as to why they worshiped creatures rather than the Creator, God's going to say you're without excuse. Romans chapter 2 says, furthermore, every one of us who've ever been born, no matter what culture, no matter our opportunity to hear the gospel or not hear the gospel, we know by virtue of the fact we're created by God, we know what is right and what is wrong. Because God's written his law in our heart and we're without excuse. But let me say this. The knowledge of a creator God through nature, the witness of nature, the light of nature, the light of conscience is simply enough light to damn a man or woman to hell. There's one thing missing, and that's the gospel, right? Romans chapter 10. How are they going to believe on someone they've never heard of? How can they hear the gospel unless we go and take it to them? Why do we have a missions conference? Not just so we can eat good food in the fellowship hall and the gymnasium. That's good. Not just so we can hear interesting stories from the mission field, but because God holds every single one of us responsible, whether we go or stay, to be concerned about the plight of those living without access to the gospel. Now tonight, we need to think. What would God have us to do? My guess is in a church this size, there are folks here who every missions conference feel that God's calling them to do something. Probably many of us have done it. Give more, pray more, keep more in touch with our missionaries. be more involved in evangelism, soul winning locally. But my guess is there might be some of us here who have felt a call to go. And we felt just this, we need to go and talk to pastor, and pastor, help me think through this and work through this and pray through this and help advise me. Am I off track? And do you see gifts in my life that maybe God would want to use overseas and in these dark places? And every year we struggle through the 2 or 3 days of missions conference, but give it about a week, 2 weeks tops, we're right back to normal. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if this year there would be a couple would say, you know what, Brother Bowman's messages, the Holy Spirit used, just really opened my eyes. And I need to do something about the people living in darkness. Pastor, can you help guide me? Help pray with me about this. And begin taking steps to get out of your comfort zone and go to a place in God's timing and under proper guidance, but go to a place where if you don't tell them the gospel, there's a very good chance they'll be born in darkness, live in darkness, and die having never one time heard a clear presentation of the gospel. While all along, we sit in here surrounded by people in our community who have continually rejected the gospel. God still wants them to be saved. But maybe he would call some of us to go to a place where they've not yet heard. Would you be willing to go? God's faithful. God is the one that enables. God's the one that gives that desire. Philippians 2:13 says it's God that works in us both to will and to desire his good doing. That's God's grace in our life. The desire to do what he wants us to do and the ability to do it. One thing I always feared when I was young and I would hear missionaries come through and they would tell stories. I'm like, oh man, if God ever called me to Africa, I don't know what in the world I would do. That was weird. If God would have called me to Africa, I would have been totally content and excited about it, just like our brother and sister are. I was excited to get to Cambodia because I already knew the language, loved the food, knew the culture because of bus ministry right in Des Moines, Iowa. So we didn't face that whole thing. We faced other fears. But young people, how about it? Would you be willing tonight to just pray and say, God, you've been stirring in my heart. I'm involved in ministry here. By the way, if we're a young person or parent, if we have a young person and we'd like to see them follow God's will, you need to do all you can to get them actively involved in ministry right here in the local church. I'm in ministry today not because of what I learned in Bible college. I'm in ministry today and God used my service in the bus ministry and the passion that we learned how to love the lost and the excitement of what it means to see a lost person turn to God from idols. And now, by God's grace, we're able to do that every day of the year overseas. I don't know what God would be working in our hearts, but I'm pretty sure, a group this large, there's some of us that have to be concerned, have to care enough about the dark places that don't have access to the gospel. Would you be willing to go? I hope you would, and that's our prayer. That's probably why God allowed us to come through Bourbonnais. It's kind of rattle your cage a little bit about the dark places full of the habitations of cruelty. The gospel's the answer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Preacher, I'm going to hand it back to you. I don't know how the Lord will be working in your heart tonight, but I trust you'll respond to whatever he's asking you to do this evening.
The message has been clear, plain, passionate. What else would you expect from a man eaten up for people in the dark places? I hope your heart's burning, either to go or sitting there thinking, Lord, how can I finance those that would go? What can I do? What would you do through me, young or old, to get the gospel to the dark places? Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, our penis big hands. We have a time to let you respond and just talk to the Lord there a little bit. Is there a burning in your heart tonight to go? Is there a burning in your heart tonight about this matter of giving? Our Father, you've met with us again. It's been so obvious, so evident in these services that your Spirit's been speaking to people, my own heart included. And you don't visit us, Lord, just so we can walk around and say, boy, God was in the service tonight. You visit us to accomplish something in us, through us, that ultimately results in your honor and your glory. So, God, please help us not to get in the way of what you want to do. Just do through us whatever it is you want. We give ourselves to you. And we pray that tomorrow as we gather again, our hearts will be ready. Once again, you'll go to work. Thank you for the good message tonight, the privilege to hear it, and the privilege to have you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.